Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone should start their day with applause. Everyone.
Girl needs to get out of bed. It's an achievement. So, yeah.
Achievement unlocked. Awake before noon. So good. Wait, what day is it? Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Good morning. Welcome to your Tuesday edition. God, edition? Already it starts. Edition of Lunch with Ginger and Corey. Gaming news served hot and fresh daily. I am Corey.
And I am Ginger.
So what do we got on our plate today? I know it's no pizza because nobody ever sends us lunch, but...
Well, I'm going to start out with that it looks like the PlayStation 3, yeah, it's been hacked.
Oh, again?
yeah. A group of German hackers. Oh, and this is coming from Yahoo News. It's claiming credit and calling themselves, or they call themselves Fail Overflow. Apparently, they have reverse-engineered the process that PS3 calculates security keys employed to validate applications. Yes. The reason why they did this, they say, is because apparently Sony stripped away the access to allow you to install Linux, other OS installs on the PS3 sometime last year. And apparently, they're not happy about that, so they decided to hack it, break it, and make it do what they want.
Can they make it play Flash? Because that's what we really need, people. Do something constructive with your power.
Well, apparently, this hack allows anybody to decrypt and sign their own PS3 code, including games, operating systems, Blu-ray movies, applications, and custom ISOs.
Flash.
Yeah, I know. Don't even have that on my iPhone. PS3, we're sorry. Shouldn't have done it. That's what you get.
Well, I don't even have a response for that. All I can say is, again, use your power responsibly. If you're going to be bragging, at least do something. I mean, you know, Linux, being able to install Linux is great, but the real thing that most of us want is they want to be able to watch their Hulu and, for me, my Xfinity on my PlayStation without having to hack it myself. I want you to do it. Oh. So this next story is, Brian was talking about it right before we went on the air. It's quickly become my favorite story because I love to agitate some of you who are anti-Wii and anti-DS out there. Guess what? All that crap about Xbox and the PS3 outselling the DS and the Wii. Sorry, the figures are in. The Nintendo DS and the Wii have set yet another new U.S. sales record. The Nintendo DS has become the all-time best-selling video game system, period. And the Wii sold more than 7 million for the third consecutive year. Mm-hmm. I know some of you fanboys and girls are weeping. Now, truthfully, you shouldn't be. That means we've got more game systems and more homes. So hopefully, more people we bring to the dark side, the better. But according to Nintendo's internal sales figures, the DS, family of portable game systems, has sold more than 47 million in the United States since the original model launched in 2004. That tally makes Nintendo, again, the best-selling video game system of all time. Their second milestone, of course, as I said, is Nintendo's internal sales figures show that the Wii home console marked its third consecutive calendar year with U.S. sales of more than 7 million. A feat never before accomplished in the history of video games by a home console. To date, the Wii system has sold more than 34 million units in the United States alone. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is a lot.
A lot of systems. Nintendo is saying they're ready to break their next record with the Nintendo 3DS handheld system, which is due to be released in March. If you're not familiar with it, although you should be if you're a gamer and you're listening to the show, the portable game system lets players see 3D content without the need for those stupid glasses. Also, remember that the Wii features parental controls, which I'm kind of leading into a story Ginger's going to be talking about here shortly, that let adults manage the content their children can access. Again, you can learn more about those controls if you're a mama or a papa, or you just want to block some people from looking at your Wii. That's kind of wrong. At Wii.com. You can also find out more information at Nintendo.com.
Yes, leading into the story that Corey was referring to. There's a six-year-old Naperville girl out there who rang up hundreds of dollars of charges playing with her iPod Touch. Apparently, the parents have the whole family, everybody has an iPod Touch, and they were allowing her to play a video game called, not that I can find it now, a Tap Zoo on her iPod Touch. They did not give her the codes to purchase things. But apparently there's a 15-minute waiting window before it logs out. And this game has pop-ups encouraging you to buy this or buy that. Starting out at 99 cents, once you buy one thing, it moves up to like $9.99. And then finally $99 items for this game.
Oof.
Yes, so she spent hundreds of dollars on virtual sea turtles, crocodiles, and tigers.
Oh.
Yeah, of course she is sick. She said she didn't realize it was real money, but she says she has learned a lesson, and her parents are keeping a tighter eye on it and have learned how to turn that pop-up off since then.
How old is she again? Six?
Six.
Why would a six-year-old have an iPod Touch is my question.
I don't know, but they say everybody in their family has one. It looks like she has at least two other siblings from the video.
Wow. This is where parental controls come into play, people.
Mm-hmm.
If you have family members that have access to technology and they're not geeks, please help them out and point this information out to them. That's scary. And they can't get that money back. That's the bad part. Okay.
No.
Well, the lovely people over at Oberon Media are planning to bring Tetris to connected televisions. I know some of you are just like, oh my God, Tetris, really?
I love Tetris.
Who doesn't love Tetris? So they're saying with the exclusive Tetris brand license for smart TV platforms, the company will bring one of the world's most popular video games of all time to living rooms across the world. But it won't be until next year. Well, no, it'll be this year. Apparently, they have their times mixed up. Beginning this quarter, apparently, Oberon's partners and the most innovative consumer electronics manufacturers, which will probably be your Samsungs, your those kind of TVs, will have the most popular video game of all time already packaged with your TV and Blu-ray players as well. Well, I'm not sure about that. But anyway, Oberon Media plans to launch with its first connected television partner, again, the first quarter of this year. The game will feature some new stunning graphics and an all-new space mode. A space mode will take users on a thrilling adventure where they'll have tons of mini-games. Challenges are played in order to proceed to the next step in the journey. Space mode mini-games also include Lightspeed, Debris, Meteorite, and Alien. I don't know about this. It could go good or bad. The SimCity, you know, people at Maxis did this way back in the day with SimCity, and that's what helped them gain a foothold in the market. But I don't really think Tetris needs the help. If you say Tetris, people are going to play it anyway or buy it. I think you should not be putting it on the TV. Maybe I don't want it on my TV. Just saying. Jen, what you got?
I am looking at, apparently for you that are into investments, this might be something for y'all. Facebook is valued at $50 billion.
Ow.
Yeah, that is nuts. It looks like an injection of cash that values Facebook at $50 billion will help it delay going public for at least another year. So I guess you won't be buying stocks. The infusion of $500 million from elite investment house Goldman Sachs and Russian investor, represents the most empathetic endorsement yet of Facebook's potential to make money in online social networking. this is nuts. And as you know, Corey and I are both horribly addicted to Facebook games.
I got cakes to make right this second. I don't know about you.
Yeah. So way to go, 26-year-old Mark Zuckerberg. That's got to be like the richest young guy ever.
Is he single? And is he druggable?
I don't think he's married yet.
Ladies, I say we form a coalition. Well, fresh into my email box, and I do mean fresh as in it just arrived right as Ginger was talking, the ECA is announcing a new initiative called the Gamers for Health, or Gamers for Health, which will provide ECA members and the gaming community with tools and resources necessary to help incorporate gaming activities into healthy lifestyles. They're going to be launching gamers everywhere to join various programs. In addition to numerous resources provided, Gamers for Health lets play members create their own profile, list what games and platforms they'll use, and then share their healthy gaming goals and achievements through various blog entries and picture video uploads. ECA staffers, that would be me, all have already started their programs and are encouraging others to join in the fun. I do not have a profile up, but I do use my Connect and Wii and all of them to exercise. You can go and check this out. And get started. Get up off your couch or at work, and you know you can take your DS with you. Some of you hate the DS, but I do know it has a one of the programs has a pedometer. Put it on your desk. Walk around while you're at work. Get to go to the coffee machine 50 million times. At best, your boss will think you're really working hard. but you should go and check this out. Get signed up at ecainstitute.org. Mm-hmm. Sign up. Let's all get in shape. Let's all look like our video game characters. That's what I think. We should all be all rippled and muscled out and cute and, yeah.
What about those furry ones?
Well, I got nothing to do with that. If you like to be furry, then...
No, not me.
No pictures, please. That's all I'm asking.
Yes, please send pictures to Corey.
No.
All right. We've got some more Connect Hacking fun. And it is, again, by Germans. Y'all are some industrial little people. German multi-touch display manufacturer, yes. Evolus has been mucking about with the Kinect. By the way, this is from Game Politics. Apparently, they've created a hack that allows PC players to play Ubisoft's Ruse on the Kinect. So that is awesome. Looks like using this hack, the user's right hand controls cursor movement, and the left hand acts as the left mouse button, command for unit selection, giving orders, and more. There is a video over on GamePolitics.com if you want to check this out.
Fantastic.
Because the video looks pretty awesome. So head over there, GamePolitics, look it up. It's Ruse using Kinect on PC. It's really way too cool.
Well, more geeky news for you. On Live, if you've heard of them, most of you have, they're going to partner with SRS Labs to deliver surround sound to instant gaming, to the instant gaming experience. Basically, they're saying, So today on Live has announced that they have partnered with cloud gaming pioneer, I'm sorry, I have that backwards. SRS has partnered with OnLive Inc. to deliver top-tier video games in rich 5.1 surround sound to any compatible consumer electronic device through the use of SRS 5.1 surround sound. OnLive users will receive SRS 5.1 sound as an automatic free update early this year. They're quoted as saying, or Courtright, who's the vice president of the new business development for SRS Labs, is quoted as saying, "We're very excited that OnLive selected SRS 5.1 as its format of choice for encoding video games in 5.1 surround sound." Gosh, will they stop with the 5.1? They're saying gamers should absolutely love the more immersive feel and lifelike experience of playing their favorite games in surround sound over standard stereo. Surround sound does not require a proprietary decoder for receiving the device and requires no extra bandwidth. Basically, it piggybacks on your normal stereo transmission. And this also provides OnLive with the right tool to create and deliver true high-quality streamed surround and sound-coded content across TVs for you Mac people, PC people, iPad, Android, and similar mobile devices that can tap into a broadband network.
Wow, that's crazy.
That is very crazy. So you can check that out. Let me make sure I have their right website. I love it when they don't give you the right website. they gave us a go to onlive.com to check them out. I mean, you can get a sneaky peek. Okay. Sign up for beta. Yeah.
Love beta.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, have you heard of the Japan Underground? Yeah, well, it's ready for its February tour return. Apparently, UK's exclusive Japanese music club Night returns. It's going to be bringing the finest and most exciting rock, pop, and gaming tunes to Japan, or of Japan, to the cities of London, Birmingham, Brighton, and Nottingham this February. They say you can expect authentic karaoke, a Japanese-style purakura, photo booth, Harajuku fashion, and the first overseas performance from Tokyo's urban techno-punk act, Hibari.
Ooh, I love Hujuru fashion. Mm. And I said it wrong too, right? I do love it.
Apparently, after its huge success in London, it pretty much made it the top 101 things to do in the capital before you die. Sorry, I'm kind of tripping over myself here and I'm losing my voice.
Wow.
Yeah, well, it looks like the dates are going to be February 2nd in London at the Kingpin Suites, the 3rd of February at Birmingham at the Victoria, 4th of February at Brighton at the Hobgoblin. Oh, I'd love to go to that just because of the name. And the 9th of February at Nottingham, the Central. All tickets are L6 in advance, whatever that is in your little Britain money. Yeah. Some of y'all contact me. Really let me know what that is someday.
Yeah, we'd like some email because we're not sure what it is. And I'm going to get in huge trouble, as many friends as I have in the UK and family. I'm very sorry. I'm going to visit and get all my money taken is what's going to happen. Okay.
See this, Corey. I want to go. Somebody send us tickets.
Do you really want to go? We'll talk about it after. I needed to clear my throat. Okay, so a new survey has been released today. The survey shows that consumer electronics are viewed as an integral component of family life, with 35% of parents saying their families could not function without electronics, and only 1 in 10 parents saying electronics are a necessary evil or create an unwanted barrier between family members. You compare this to last year's WeTime parent survey. Apparently they do this every year, where 24% of families said they feel consumer electronics do not enhance WeTime, and the change in attributes becomes obvious. Now, for over half of families, 51%, WeTime, getting together with family to enjoy others' company, whether planned or spontaneous, happens at least every few days. Of the popular WeTime activities for family, 3 out of top 5 involve consumer electronics. Now, you're probably asking, why are we telling you this? This is a gaming show. That's why we're telling you this. Number one on the list is obviously watching television or movies, 86%. 2 is cooking, baking, or grilling, 49%. Number 3, you want to pay attention to this one, playing video games, 42%. Ha! And we came in ahead of reading and listening to music and singing or dancing, which probably entails video games at all, as well. So the surveys they're saying is shows that parents, particularly the younger generation, have embraced consumer electronics and created a complementary role for products in their family's life. Jess Walton, who's a global brand, the Memorex global brand director at Animation Corp, said the concept of WeTime hasn't changed, but the tools families are using to bring WeTime to life have evolved. So some of you out there that are young parents, and they're saying you guys fall between the 24 to 34 range, behave differently than the 35 to 48 range. I'm going to not put gamers in that category because we know some of you younger and older gamer parents are all about the raiding together, the playing, the Kinect together, the Wii together, the DS, everything. So we want to thank you guys who took the survey so people can stop looking at us like we're the devil. You can go and check this out at memorex.com, and they have some comments over there. Leave one. Tell them we sent you. Tell them you're a gamer. And you play games with your kids. We love it.
Yes, yes. That is awesome. I love families who game together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Mac users, looks like something spooky's coming your way. Lego Harry Potter years 1 through 4 is coming on January 6th for the Mac. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Feral Interactive today has announced that Thursday, January 6th, is the worldwide release date for the Macintosh version of LEGO Harry Potter Years 1 through 4.
I'm sorry.
I love me some LEGO anything. So LEGO Harry Potter's is just epic. Yeah. Apparently, it's combining the quirky and fun gameplay of LEGO with the magic of Harry Potter. LEGO Harry Potter Years 1 through 4 lets users experience all the thrills and excitement of the first four Harry Potter books and films in a brand new way. The adventure builds from Privet Drive to the Triwizard Tournament in an interactive journey that takes players through some of the most detailed and expansive environments ever created for a LEGO game. Yeah, so that is awesome. It looks like it's going to be $39.95 in the U.S. or $34.95 in the U.K.
Well, we have yet another convention to announce to you. And Comic Convention number six, aptly titled Drop the Masks. I love it. They're announcing again their sixth convention, which will take place on the 5th and 6th of March of this year at Lily Grand Palace in northern France to celebrate their 10th year. And Comic is planning a program packed with animations and exclusivities, oh God, you French people, from children to adults, gamers to comic book lovers. There will be something for everyone in the Encoma University during the 6th edition of the Encoma Convention. The special event will mark 10 years of Encoma. You French people, can you straighten up this PR, please? As well as the arrival of some new characters in its flagship universe, the Rogues and the Masqueraders, who will be breaking into the scene in all Encoma media soon. You can go and check that out because they have a crazy press release. I do love my French people, but good God. we don't need that many words, French people. They're also planning to announce a new video game, give away lots of prizes. They're also going to have, and I like this, I would want to go just for this, an IRL quest.
Ooh.
Yes. Lovely, lovely, lovely. So you, if you're in over in France, again, it's at Lily Grand Palace, One Boulevard de Cité Unis. My French is terrible. 5977 Lily Subway, Line 2, Station, Lily Grand Palace. It is Saturday, March the 5th, Sunday through the 6th, from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., and it's a one-day pass. Hang on. No. I'm answering Ginger. No, we haven't. You can get a one-day pass for 12 euros. See, at least the French know how to give us their monies. Weekend pass for 20 euros. And the prices on the day, a one-day pass will get, if you get there that day, 14 euros. And for the weekend, 22 euros. So not a big difference in price. They're saying you get with each pass, you get a free goodie bag, including one Rogue or Masquerader figurine, one Remington or Mask Name Wakfu TCG card, a quest map for the IRL thing. No comics. They're not going to hand them to you, but they're going to tell you where to find them. I guess that's part of your quest. So you can go ahead and get your advance tickets at ankama-shop.com. Go get them now. And you can only pay with your card, unfortunately, online. So no checks. No COD, some of you. You know how you are. You ruined it for the rest of us. Anyway, that's all I got for this session. No. How's the traffic looking out there?
It's looking pretty good, pretty good. All right. Looks like there is going to be another charity for Child's Play. Pure Nintendo announces the four games to be played during their live-streamed video game marathon charity. It's going to be happening January 14th through the 16th. This is their second annual event. It's entitled Nintendo Icons. Apparently, they're going to be playing four games related to the iconic Nintendo characters, including Seamus, Aran, Kirby, Donkey Kong, and Link. The games they're going to be playing...
Link?
I know I shouldn't have said that. It looks like they're going to be playing Metroid, Other M, Kirby's Epic Yarn, Donkey Kong Country Returns, The Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker. This is going to all be live streamed, so you can watch it if you've got some time you want to see it. It's at purenintendo.com/charity. It's going to be starting at 7 p.m. on January 14th, and you'll be able to donate straight to the Child's Play yourself by a chip-in account provided on the page. 100% of the proceeds, 100%, that's not often. will go directly to Child's Play. No money will be handled by Pure Nintendo.
Fantastic.
That is awesome.
The charity going, guys. Keep the charity going. Doesn't have to be Christmas to do this.
Exactly.
Well, the people over at Saint Mint, I'm sorry, I cannot say their name, but I'm going to talk about their story anyway, and it's spelled X-A-I-T-M-A-N-T, have added a new finance and accounting manager. Let's Leesum. Sorry, guys. Leesum accepted the position in December and will support Saint Mint and its offices worldwide from the headquarters in Germany. Germany is dominating the news today. From the very start, he's saying that he was not only thrilled by the staff and the AI game middleware tools used at Saint Mint, but also by the company's huge market potential in the industry. He said that they're growing fast, internationally successful, and he's confident that his experience working on multinational financial management will bring a positive contribution to Saint Mint. You guys might want to keep an eye on them. When you start bringing in the finance managers, that means big things are coming. If you're not familiar with who Saint Mint is, they're the world leader in AI game tools for simulations and game industries, and they were founded in Germany in 2004. They also offer AI middleware that goes beyond the standard pathfinding. You guys know what that means. You should. Their AI tools also enable developers through an easy-to-use graphical user interface to create automatic navigation, mesh builds, movement behaviors, crowd simulations, hierarchical, probabilistic, finite state machines, good God, that was a mouthful, world descriptions, autonomic behaviors, and experience-based and interference-based learning behaviors for computer-generated characters. That was very geeky, and someone out there understood that, just like I did. So you can check them out at xaitment.com and watch for big things from them. Germany for the win!
Heck yeah, I tell you, man, they are like all kinds industrious lately.
Yes.
All right. Talking about Child's Play earlier, there is a story up on Game Politics coming from Gamasutra. Looks like the charity that was started by Penny Arcade creators Jerry Holkins and Mike, I'm going to butcher this name, I'm sorry, Krahulik, was able to raise an impressive $2,294,317 in 2010. That's a new record for them.
Hot.
They've only been around for 8 years, but this charity that is dedicated to giving video games, toys, and books to hospitalized children has managed to raise over $9 million. That is pretty awesome and quite impressive. Of course, you know, they say it would not be as successful if it hadn't been for the gamers with big hearts, dedication, and the will to beg, plead, and do anything else to get money for the community. So, way to go, everybody. That's awesome.
Okay, as you hear the music, we're taking a break. And in case you hadn't noticed, we've given you 30 minutes of free, delicious, delectable gaming, lunch gaming news. However, if you want to hear the rest, you'll have to download it. We'll be right back after the break.
Anything you want me to be. I'm Info Store, a hack and flash, who the heck's more heroic?
Check me out, Cloth, I'm a bitch, me look at glove. Just Twitter, a time, I'm ready for love.
All right. I hate to interrupt this song because I love it.
I do love this song. I told you, yesterday running around, wow, I saw somebody with the name put it. Oh, that was pretty hilarious.
Gosh, people are hardcore fans. We love it. So apparently we're back after the break. There is a ton of news today. We may not get to it all, but we're going to try. Oh, wow. Woof. No pun intended. I'm trying to let it play out because I know I'll get email if I don't. Okay, you guys will live.
So you dance in my chair to it.
Jesus. I am already getting mail. Don't you dare touch that song. I'm going to download later. Don't touch it. Yes, I see. I let it play through in its entirety. Those of you who are listening to us via your iPod or iPhones, you had the entire song. Ha ha. We were talking over part of it, though. So, ha. So welcome back to Lunch with Ginger and Gary. We got more news, and I mean a lot more. We're going to try to fit it in. You got 15 minutes, maybe? Maybe we'll go longer. I don't know.
It is a crap ton with the news out today.
Yes, good God. So, Jen, what else you got?
What else I got? All right, I'm going to jump in with that. Looks like California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is leaving office or left office with an approval rating of 22%. Why is this a big deal to us? Well, you know, he's got that whole Schwarzenegger versus the ECA thing going on that we all, you know, just love.
Boo! I would have done the sound effect, but it's much more effective when I do it. Boo!
Thankfully, the district court ruled it unconstitutional, which is awesome. So, you know, Terminator, looks like you were terminated.
Oh.
Hasta luego. Or no, hasta la vista is what you used to do. Don't let the door hit you, I think is the phrase.
Yeah, where the good Lord spit you. So, those of you who are jonesing for The Sims Medieval for Mac and PC, there will be a trailer up from us in about an hour or so, but I just wanted to get you all excited. Be sure to drop by the site. Take a look through our trailers. They run constantly without interruption over and over. Oh, wait a minute. This is daytime. I can't do that. Okay. let me cut that out. I got a little too sexy for you guys early in the day. Well, Bohemia Interactive Community Awards 2010 have been launched. They've announced today that they've launched their next annual installment of their community awards celebrating the creativeness of the Arma 2 dedicated community. Bohemia Interactive, together with Natural Point and Rock Paper Shotgun, I love it. are pleased to announce the start of its annual event celebrating the creativeness of the community. They're inviting extensive Arma and Arma 2 community to nominate and vote for their favorite fan-made content. The three-phase awards event started today with the nominations continuing and voting phase through February. Subscribers can nominate their favorite community, create a community-created piece of artwork for Arma and Arma 2. This also includes the Ink expansion, DLC-specific mod content, till midnight CET Central, I don't know what that is, CET time, January 31st of this year. Winners will be announced in the first 2 weeks of March, and my voice is not going to last even that long. Bohemia Interactive Community Awards consist of the following categories: the Best Mod Add-on of the Year, Best Mission Campaign of the Year, Best Website of the Year, Best Member of the Year, and Best Video of the Year. So this is also a community you might want to get involved in if you love making content for games. All the details, including the competition's conditions, are described at Bohemia's homepage at www.bistudio.com and on the Arma 2 website at arma2.com. You can also track them on the web. They have a lovely YouTube channel, apparently, called Arma 2 Official. They have a Twitter account, Bohemia Interact, and a Facebook, Bohemia Space Interactive, and a second Facebook, Arma 2. So check those out. You shouldn't have any trouble finding them. I'm interested to see some of their content. I had no idea. Oh, and you should also know Bohemia Interactive won the Best PC Game Developer Award back in 2001 at London's ECTS Exhibition and Rookie Studio of the Year Award at GDC back in 2002. So they got street cred.
Very nice, very nice.
Jen, back to you.
Well, on the topic of awards, looks like they're not the only ones that are doing their 2010 awards. Beckett Massive Online Gamer Reader's Choice Award. Yes, yes. That's out in their number 29 issue of Massive Online Gamer. Looks like one of our favorite games we've been rooting for, Wizard 101, captured top honors in several categories, including Best MMO of 2010.
Yes.
Yes, yes. You know, not that surprising, seeing as how they have a 10 million player base in June of 2010.
Wow.
Best new MMO was Star Trek Online. Best fantasy MMO, World of Warcraft. Imagine that. Best non-fantasy MMO, Eve Online.
Wow. I shouldn't say wow. Eve is an excellent game. I shouldn't say that.
Best kid-friendly all-ages MMO, once again, Wizard 101. And they also got best free-to-play MMO. Looks like best online console game was Call of Duty Black Ops. And the most anticipated MMO was Guild Wars 2. There's many more if you want to pick up their March-April edition of their magazine, Massive Online Gamer. But this is pretty awesome, so congratulations, everyone. That's just cool.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've got a Twitter from somebody. Oh, wow. Gosh, interactive shows. Love it. Okay. So Knox Audio is apparently going to CES and going to show you all their goodies. Let me correct. Let me explain. They're basically set to unleash what they're calling an audio revolution. With its Admiral and Admiral Touch, the first true wireless headsets, they're scheduled to debut in late 2011. They're going to feature 7.1 channel surround sound with mobile Bluetooth and Wi-Fi connectivity. The Admiral and Admiral Touch enable full wireless audio and communication on game consoles for the first time ever. Well, not ever, but you know. In addition to these features, the Admiral Touch also will include a 2.1-inch LCD touchscreen with gesture control powered by Google's Android operating system. Also, never before seen in a headset is that little – I'm tongue-tied. A functional prototype of the Admiral Touch will be unveiled at the 2011 International Consumer Electronics Show, also known as CES, in Las Vegas from January 6th through the 9th, which is next week, people. Again, they're saying since it's powered by the Android Touch, it's going to take full advantage of available streaming music, including Pandora and VoIP applications such as MSN Chat and Skype. Also, thanks to its built-in Wi-Fi connectivity with 7.1-channel digital surround sound, the Admiral can also create a completely immersive experience for people for us playing the games, listening to your music, watching the movies, as well as crisp, clear audio for phone calls, making it the only truly wireless headset available on the market. It also will feature rotating ear cups that double as a loudspeaker. Both headsets will offer maximum versatility and compatibility with the PlayStation, the Xbox, PCs, and personal music players such as the iPod, home theaters, cell phones, and all other electronic devices with a standard 3.5-millimeter jack and any other devices with built-in Bluetooth. It is removable and has a removable and rechargeable Li-ion battery and provides more than 5 hours of battery life for the optimal usage with any compatible product. This sounds awesome. I gotta have it. I gotta have it. And I'm not gonna say the headset that I'm wearing now because they, you know, I don't want to insult them. But guys, if I get this, you guys are so, we're so over. We're broken up. Okay, and they're also expecting, if you really want to have some fun, you're going out to CES. They're saying they're going to have DJ Envy, the Mixtape Master, at CES on Friday, January 7th, from 2 to 4 p.m. in their booth. So you can go by and dance and check out the headset at the same time. They're saying there's no tickets to get in to see him. It's first come, first serve basis. So if you don't get there, you don't get there. I'm sorry, I'm drooling. I really want this. I got lots of gadgets in my house. I could just walk free and unfettered. Imagine us doing the show via our Skype, just wireless and free through the house.
I've been thinking about it. I have been looking at them. I worry about them. I worry about my iPhone interfering.
Well, it's supposed to work with your iPhone, so yay.
That'd be awesome. Mm. All right, well, I guess it's my go. We're going to talk about another video game magazine. Looks like Megaton number 9, the UK's only video game magazine for kids, is out now. Looks like they are kicking off their first Megaton of 2011 with a bang, with a fantastic Moshi Monsters cover, loads of amazing free gifts, ton of awesome competitions, and much, much more. It has reviews of Tron Evolution, Super Mario All-Stars, Gran Turismo 5, Need for Speed, Hot Pursuit, Megamind, and many more top titles. Each issue of Megaton also includes a regular iPhone, iPod Touch, iPod gaming section, packed with info on the latest games and apps. So, if your kids are into those silly little crazy bands, Megaton number 9 includes a free packet of Moshi Bands, which I'm guessing is the UK's version of our crazy bands.
Oh, God. See, they had me until, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, a sheet of Topps Moshi Monsters mashup trading cards, a wrap figurine, playing cards, stickers, and a 25 swap it point for readers to use online for all sorts of great stuff. Of course, this is in the UK. It doesn't look like we have this in the US. It's going to be $3.99, whatever your little UK L marks are.
British pounds, darling. Oh, wait.
British pounds.
No, I'm sorry, quid. I mean, francs. I mean...
yeah. All right, so that's Megaton number 9 on sale now. Go check that out.
I'm still going to get cut for that whole thing I just did. I really am. I'm very, very sorry. It's just, I can't... Yeah. Well, we have some interesting statistics. Speaking of our UK people, they've released their 20,000 year-end figures, and they're saying it's another strong year for the video games and interactive entertainment industry over in the UK. Apparently, interactive entertainment industry had annual sales figures of 1.53 billion. Again, I'm not sure what that is, but it sounds like a lot. 1.3 billion, I'm going to think that's probably what it says. This is just for entertainment software, PC, and console games. The total sales of console video game software amounted to, again, 1.45 billion. Oh, good God. British pounds. I don't know. With a growth in two formats, Microsoft's Xbox and the Sony's PlayStation 3, the total revenue for console hardware sales amounted to 800 million.
Wow.
Yes. In terms of revenue, the hardware market was headed by Microsoft's Xbox, generating $232 million, and closely followed by Sony's PlayStation with revenue of $229 million. Combined hardware units for these two platforms was 2.3 million, the same as the 52 comparable weeks of 2009, actually. In the terms of the revenue, the software market paints a similar picture with the Xbox, generating about $538 million. And the PS3, number 2, at $414 million. This is a ton of money. This country is, like, smaller than, you know, you can fit, I think, the entire country into Texas. And they're doing crazy money over there. Overall, in 2010, UK consumers bought a total of 63 million console and PC video games, which works out at more than one per person in the UK. Wow.
That is a lot of games.
They're saying their best-selling games, of course, same as here, Blizzard's Call of Duty Black Ops, which came out on all formats over there for them, the 360, the PS3, the PC, the Wii, and the DS, and is by far the biggest launch of any game ever for them. Recorded a staggering 2 million units. I don't think they didn't want to mention any other games. I think that was like just the best. I kind of want to play me some Call of Duty, I won't lie. Mike Rawlinson, the director of General Yuki, which is a company that's coming from, said despite 2010 being a tough year for the economy, yes, other people were in a recession too, guys, not just us. The video games and interactive entertainment industry continues to perform strongly. As the UK's leading creative industry, these figures demonstrate the increasingly popular position of video games in everyone's daily lives and the strength that the sector has to see it through tough times. Amen.
That is awesome.
So, Jen, we're at our 15-minute mark. Should we continue? Do we have more? We have more news. I shouldn't even ask that. We have
more. Oh, my goodness. Well, we've got so much news. I think I will go ahead and jump in with another.
Okay.
If you want to keep going.
Go for it. Go.
RuneScape behind the scenes, January 2011. Looks like RuneScape is kicking off their 10th year with a bang. January's content starts new year with a bang. We're planning an epic and high-level God Wars boss with level 80 drops, generous combat XP rewards from the new Haiti Wolf, and a fantastic new dwarf quest. Yeah, it looks like King of the Dwarves, a new year often brings with it change, and that's certainly true for Keldegrim. The setting of the first quest planned for release in 2011. An unexpected Chaos Dwarf attack throws the city into turmoil and forces the Consortium to make a tough decision. Faced by threats from both inside and outside the city, Keldegrim's rulers will struggle to hold power. And if they fail, the Red X is poised to sweep in and take over.
Cut him!
Mm-hmm. Looks like God Wars expansion plus level 80 combat gear is also what they're looking at. All that's known about the history of the God Wars dungeon is that at one point towards the end of the Third Age, a flight of AVNTs took refuge there from Zemarak's demon horde to protect the newly forged God Sword. Reinforcements arrived in the form of General Grador and Commander Zilyana, and the battle raged.
These people are serious.
Mm-hmm. They got these names. It's just going to drive me crazy trying to pronounce them. So it looks like we are looking at you'll end up having to defeat RuneScape's most powerful and intelligent boss to date. It won't be easy with its arsenal of over 15 unique combat moves, each designed to test even the most powerful of players. You're going to need help from your clan or some friends to take it down. But huge riches await those who succeed. Like brand new level 80 life point boosting armor for rangers, mages, and warriors, with the best defensive statistics available to date. A brand new ammo free bow, that's always awesome. As fast and accurate as a chaotic crossbow, and as powerful as dragonstone tipped rune bolts. Brand new cosmetic robes for anyone with a need to show their loyalty to the Big Z. And a fully voiced support battle and some of the richest graphics in the game. So they say it's shaping up to be one of the best and most exciting areas of RuneScape. So it's pretty awesome. If you are a RuneScape fan or player, congratulations. Hope you enjoy all the new content.
I want to play. It sounds interesting. Too many games.
I played way back in the day. I don't think I could go back. No.
You never know. It might be awesome. Might be awesome sauce by now, Jen.
I see the screenshots, and I'm like, no.
Look away.
I need my prettiness, and it's just RuneScape is not pretty.
Oh, so you're one of those graphics chicks that are so rare. well, good God, more news, right? You guys are getting way more than you bargained for this today on Tuesday, aren't you? I think we're going to have to cut you guys off at actual noon our time, because we really do need to go eat some lunch. But anyway, Frogster has appointed the oh-so-lovely and handsome Seth Iario to the executive board. I have not seen this man, not as of yet. I do have a photo of him. We'll be putting that up on the site shortly. He's apparently responsible for the consumer and technology-oriented service areas. Again, he was pointed, wow, what a wonderful New Year's present. 1st of January. Fantastical. In early October 2010, Seth actually took office as the managing director of Frogster, which is an online gaming company. And also he took control of the VP, or became the VP of Customer Relations and Technology of the parent company, Frogster Interactive Pictures, AG, as the VP Business Development. VP of Business Development and the authorized representative. He's also a graduate in business administration, was previously responsible for areas of consumer communications and marketing, localization, and HR. If you don't know what that is, that's human resources for you youngsters. At Gameforge AG, the new majority shareholder of Frogster. After founding and managing Rabbit Software AG as CTO back in 2000, Seth worked as an IT consultant and as a project manager at United Internet. What's this mean for us? I don't really know yet. Probably some new and exciting things coming out of Frogster for us. It seems like he's a smart guy. And again, this is all in Germany. What are you people doing? I think they're preparing to take over the world.
don't sell Palin.
Yes, those evil gamers. Frogster is a Berlin-based listed publisher of online games. They also focus on the marketing and operation of virtual worlds, so-called massively multiplayer online games. Heard of those? Some of their top titles, Runes of Magic and Bounty Bay Online, and they've already gathered over 5 million registered players worldwide. So, yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of players.
And they've already announced two new MMOs, Terra and Mythos.
Ooh, I think I've heard of Terra.
Yes, coming soon, coming soon. So I'm looking forward to seeing. Oh, you can go and check them out too. Frogster.de. Remember, it's not .com. It's in Germany. It's DE. D is in David, E is in egg. So it's Frogster.de. Go check them out.
Awesome, awesome. All right, well, it looks like Yu-Gi-Oh! Is getting some love. Prepare to duel as Konami unveils stunning new official game of the 2011 Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds World Championship. It looks like Konami Digital Entertainment, GmbH, will unleash the latest in its Yu-Gi-Oh! Range of titles for Nintendo DS in March. It's going to be delivering the ultimate dueling simulation to handheld fans. New game is based on Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D's TV series and is also the official video game of Yu-Gi-Oh! World Championship in 2011. Skilled duelists will be invited to show their prowess at a series of events with the very best players eventually picked to compete in Konami's World Finals. As such, multiplayer competition plays a big part in Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D's World Championship 2011 over the Nexus, offering Wi-Fi gameplay and the ability for up to four players to duel offline. That's going to be interesting.
Wow.
Looks like Over the Nexus is going to feature 4,200 cards for use in the game. It includes the new Storm Ragnarok booster and the Lost Sanctuary structure deck. The game's one-player story mode uses character and situations from the TV show and the in-game presentation that has been streamlined with all new dual-screen presentation to offer more information at a glance, while a new dual puzzle editor allows users to create dueling situations that can be shared with duelists all over the world via Wi-Fi.
Say that five times fast.
I know. If you're into the Yu-Gi-Oh! Trading card game and you've got a DS, you might want to check this out. Looks like there is not a website for this, but I'm sure you can look it up. All of you people are pretty talented with Google. So that's Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds World Championship 2011 Over the Nexus.
Well, for those of you who are going to CES and like to stalk people, Scott Steinberg is going to be available for an interview, and now we're sharing this with some of you other media outlets because maybe you don't know. Scott Steinberg is the acclaimed technology expert and lead analyst for high-tech consulting research firm Tech Savvy Global and Rolling Stone's Gear Up columnist. He'll be available for an interview before, during, and after the trade show. That means he does it always. Okay. So he'll be able to discuss tablet PCs, mobile computing, smartphones and 4G internet, 3D TV, you know, all that stuff, video games and motion controls. So go by and harass Scott. Tell him we sent you. And we would need some gifts for this lovely plug that we're giving him. Scott is also Scott is also the current reigning game expert on networks such as ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, and CNN, has covered business technology for more than 400-plus outlets from the New York Times to Playboy and Rolling Stone. You can check Scott out at toptechexpert.com before we take his job, because we're coming for you, Scott.
people actually read the articles in Playboy?
Yeah, of course. Of course there's articles in Playboy. Didn't you know?
No, I thought it was just for the lovely pictures.
Mm.
All right. Hi, it's daytime. I got to be...
Not really.
World of Tanks hits another significant milestone by reaching 1 million users. Wargaming.net announces today that its highly anticipated free-to-play MMO action game, World of Tanks, has recorded more than 1 million registrations in America, Europe, and Russia. This is a significant milestone, has been reached in less than 1 year since launching the closed beta in Russia. To handle the Russia players, World of Tanks team is installing additional European servers to the lineup. Steady growth of World of Tanks population will enable Wargaming.net to continuously update and polish the game in the run-up to its commercialization for the Western audience in the first quarter of 2011. You can join the beta at game.worldoftanks.com/registration/CBT. Or if you just want some more information on this game, World of Tanks, you can go over to worldoftanks.com.
I'm trying to understand. No. I'm bad. I'm trying to understand why I would want to play World of Tanks. I'm just saying.
Oh, it looks like they've got some team-based, massively multiplayer online game action dedicated to armored warfare. And seriously, you know, who doesn't want to sit in a tank and blow people up? That's just awesome.
I guess. I personally like to get up close and personal. You know, shoot and cut. Just shoot and cut. You know how that goes. So, those of you who love Zoo Online, they have their first PvP arena, Soul Fight Altar, is coming soon. So what they've been doing is testing the PvP arena. They're saying it's ready. It's now in its final phase. Players will have to go to where they can settle things honorably instead of in the street, so to speak. This new area this new area will make PvP more fun, balanced, rewarding. And as the gamers who want to visit the Soul Fight Altar can first go to the Soul Fight Envoy in the Holy City or the Desert City. After you enter the arena, some stat changes will take place. Epic equipment that is bought will have their resistances lowered. So they're going to power you down. Also, urgent tablets cannot be used here either. These changes are designed to make PvP more balanced than in other zones. They know that the balance seems like a code word for boring, but this arena is full of surprises that you won't find anywhere else. Soul Fight stones are scattered around the arena that will offer players that pick them up sudden boosts. Wonder where they got that from, City of Heroes. PvP winners will get Soul Fight points that can be exchanged for some awesome equipment, which is not like City of Heroes. So take your fighting off the wall, off the well-worn paths, or the streets of Zoo Mountain and the Soul and into the Soul Fight Arena, and show them who's the real boss.
That's awesome.
You can check that out at zoo.igg, or that might be a Q. I really can't tell. .com might be IQQ, but I think it's IGG.com. Go ahead and check them out.
All right, well, we've got another MMORPG coming out, Legend of Galazia Cute 2D Fantasy.
Good Lord.
Yeah, Legend of Galazia, also known as Adventure Generation Online in Taiwan and Lei Si Blue in Japan, will soon launch its first English version server in the first quarter of 2011. It is a cute 2D-styled fantasy MMORPG. It's similar to the most popular Ragnarok Online, with its main theme maid and butler. Players will find that within the game there is no way one can miss out having a maid or butler to assist them in boss fights and even guild wars. They lost me on maid and butler, they really did. Players can have up to 6 different classes with stackable passive buffs and skills, which provide an unlimited gameplay experience for players to mix and match their preferred classes and even class combinations. For future updates and premium gifts, please join Legend of Galazia Facebook fan site. So, yeah, look them up, Legend of Galatia, on Facebook.
And I think that is mostly going to do it for us today. We're hungry.
We're all talked out. You broke us. You broke us.
I need new batteries.
Not. No, Wes, not.
Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you.
Yeah, I think the song fits exactly where I was going with that.
All right, we'll see you guys bright and early tomorrow. Fresh, hot, delicious gaming news served every day. Remember, if you like us, favorite us, if you've got news, send it over to press@gamingatrix.com. And we'll see you tomorrow.
See you guys. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, when I first saw you eating those dots in that maze, I knew you were no ordinary yellow circle.
Baby, I'm in love with you.
Mean, colorful goat will try to stop you, but you just keep on eating those dots, because you will always be Miss Pac-Man, and that is why I love you. Oh, no.
Miss, baby, 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 baby,
yeah, oh, yeah, squeak, squeak,